Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're going to enjoy a beautiful story of friendship over 20 years and P-mums.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F-word. So if you don't like F-words, maybe you should turn it off. No, stick with us.
Yeah,
but you maybe don't want your children to listen, so put your AirPods buds in. Hi, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Look at us, sun's shining.
I know, we're down in here in the pod
bar. Down in the pod bar. It's so much nicer in summer.
Yes. Yeah, we're not freezing.
We've had, sorry, Annalise, to get onto weather so early, but we've had quite a cool summer in Melbourne.
Yeah, yep. La Nina.
Yes, which my mum reminds me, while she hates the cold, she loves the no bushfires.
Yeah, well,
and
that's
true. And we're
thinking,
I know Perth's had terrible, terrible summer.
Yeah.
So we will acknowledge that it's very green in Melbourne.
Yeah, but it's quite mild for February.
Very mild. Very mild. And how riveting. Are you still with us?
But you know, Molly is our weather person in our house.
Right.
So yeah, every morning I'll just say, what's the weather today? 30.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
Oh,
like,
that's
yeah,
great.
She knows the night temperature, so which pajamas to wear.
Oh.
She knows the next day temperature. She's got it all on the iPad.
Oh, we just prefer to wear tracksuits all the time. So we have to have a lot of negotiation
okay.
to put on summer clothes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Here we are, and it's yeah, such a thrill.
Oh, so thrilled. This is, I think Manny and I were saying, this is the first time two people not related to each other but really good friends,
yes,
both with pea shoots.
Yes.
So
yes.
Let's find out who's here.
Yes, let's go for it.
All right. So we have two guests. I'll introduce them so that we don't have speaking over mics.
Yep, okay.
We have Jojo and, of course, the awesome Kate.
Yay, what a great name.
They're both awesome. I just like her name.
So should we start with our questions?
Yep.
Okay, so let's start with you, Jojo. Tell us about a song that you love to listen to, or music in the good times or the tricky times.
Well, probably one of my favourite songs or favourite artists is Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
Love her music and have for a very long time.
Yeah.
I'm married to a man from Ireland.
Yes.
And one of my favourite songs from her is Emma's Song, which is not one of probably her well-known songs, but it's absolutely beautiful. And when my daughter was very young, she has a disability, I was involved in a program called Mother Goose, which is might be still around today.
Yeah.
She's a teenager now, but might still be around. And they encouraged us to use songs that were, you know, just regular songs and apply them and use them as lullabies.
Ah.
And so that song I converted to a bit of a lullaby.
Beautiful.
And would sing that song to her, and she now actually sings that song back to me on my birthday.
Oh, gorgeous.
It's just so cute.
So cute.
Which is actually really adorable.
But it is.
Regardless, by Sinead O'Connor, it's a particularly beautiful song.
Oh, I'm going to go and listen.
I was listening to Sinead O'Connor yesterday.
Really?
How weird's that? Yeah.
Nothing compares to you.
Nothing.
It's like the only one I know.
Oh, you'd know more.
Oh, would I?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay, what about you, Kate?
So my song that's getting me through things at the moment is by Archie Roach.
Ah, oh, yes.
It's a song. It's Archie Roach, what a great man, what a brilliant man, telling his truth and expressing it so wonderfully for everyone to understand, especially in Australia. But there's a song called Tell Me Why.
I don't know it.
It's really boppy and catchy, which is probably why I like it. I'm a bit of a... I'm not really a music person. We were talking about so what a lot of music, a bit of music, a bit of song, and but it's I really like the hooky tunes, as most of my family, friends, former housemates would attest.
Yeah.
But this is it's actually about the love story between his parents, and it talks about tell me why did they destroy a love like that, and sort of the unanswered questions, and I think in the P community. I think there are a lot of unanswered questions.
Yes, I think so too.
And it's kind of an opportunity to reflect on my unanswered questions of why I'm a P and what that means to me, to my P shoot and my family. So that's my my song. Give it a listen, P.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Yeah.
Writing it down.
Because you'll never be able to hear this again, will you?
Well, you know. Okay. I love that question because everybody just has – no one's ever saying, you know.
We've never had the same song.
No one's saying Locomotion by Kylie Minogue. I mean, they might.
I mean, that's a good song.
I know.
Yeah.
It was the soundtrack to 1988.
It was.
Okay.
And it was your parents let you play it? Like, it wasn't a naughty song? Anyway, sorry.
Go.
I want to know, JoJo, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, I actually don't think I did.
Yay, neither.
We shouldn't say that because then the award people get upset.
No, they know they're great. Yeah, they know.
But I just don't think I was either really too fussed with winning awards either. So I also think I was a P before my time. So.
Yeah.
I did. I think I was reasonably academic and I was fairly sporty as a kid. So I used to go to those events, you know, the school events and come home with a few ribbons. And things like that.
Yep.
So I might have like won some awards, but nothing really springs vividly to mind that I won an amazing award or anything like that.
Yeah. Probably because you know their value. So. And what about you, Kate?
So growing up in Australia in a certain time frame, maybe the 80s, there was something called the Westpac Maths Competition.
Oh, 100% remember it. It's called something else now.
Funnily enough, I like to think I'm good at maths, but there was a trick to that actual competition and one of our teachers told us, if you don't know the answer to the question, don't try it, like don't attempt it. So do what you know and leave the rest. So you get like 20 questions, for example, and they might be even multiple choice, but it wasn't like, you know how sometimes in a maths question
you
can do the work
here
and if you've done a transposition error or just, you know, it's not like that. And I think they actually deducted if you so that was the word on the street. And I'm a good listener and I have a good memory, so I remembered that. And so like I think I went back to back 2 years in a row. not a gold medal. Not a gold medal. Probably like is it called a distinction or a credit maybe?
But
it was a certificate.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
But so I don't know that that's really an award. Or
yes, it is. 100%.
Yeah.
Just
awards are what we make of them.
Good listening.
She's got it laminated on the back of her toilet, so I don't know why she's saying that.
Okay, so our most important question is, and let's go with you, JoJo, can you tell us why you're a P?
Yep, I'm a P because I have a teenage daughter who has Down syndrome, but at the moment she identifies probably most strongly as being a teenager.
Yes.
and she does all the usual things of being a teenager, like rolling her eyes when I ask her to do something. So that's definitely her reality at the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
But she's also matured into someone with really significant anxieties.
Mm. Yep.
And she also doesn't connect a lot with her Down syndrome. Mm. And that's all really interesting because that's how most people immediately see her.
Yes.
And as we know, identity is a really big thing. Yep. So that's got quite a few challenges.
Mm. Yeah.
She's also got some major surgery coming up. Mm. So we're sort of supporting her with that at the moment. Mm. I also think I'm a P because I think your podcast and your community has opened up a forum of acceptance, and it's not hasn't got too much of an agenda. And I think that's really important as far as getting people's voices heard. And I admire that a lot. And because when there's an agenda, it opens that up a lot for spin.
Yes.
And that's not really something I'd like to be part of particularly. And that was lacking, I think, a lot for people like Kate and I. Sorry for speaking for you, Kate.
No, that's okay. I will correct you if it's not something I'm comfortable with. You know that?
Yeah. But the P community is more about truth-telling and inclusion of some people that can feel unheard and invisible.
And
I think this is why your podcast and your whole community has grown up so quick, has grown so quickly. And I especially appreciate your principle of not providing advice because I personally wouldn't like to be viewed as an advice giver.
No advice. It's not a parenting podcast.
No.
Rather, I just want to sort of say that this is my story.
Yes.
And, yeah, my story along with the journey with my daughter.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, JJ. Beautiful. That's, you brought tears to
actually,
our eyes.
Actually, we could just might steal that when people are like, you know, can you give us a synopsis of whatever, why you did it? Yeah.
Go back and listen to that episode. Thank you. That was very touching.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't think we even realized. We just knew that we wanted to be all together because we all felt fragmented in our support groups. Not that they're not awesome, our support groups, but I never thought about not having an agenda, but I like it.
Yeah.
And Kate?
So I have a pea shoot. A little boy, 7 years old, who happens to have Down syndrome also. I'm not going to I'll save my exciting things that I feel about this podcast and what a difference it makes a bit later, but JoJo and I are very much we were friends first. Then JoJo became a mum, and then I became a mum much later, but similar aspects of our journey have meant a lot to us, so we're really excited to be here and sharing our truths. And I think too, our stories are just ordinary stories, but special to us. And I love the podcast, and I love the P community. I think it's just an amazing thing. So mediocre mums, you're not. fantastic women doing things for community. It's so life affirming and joyous. But my little boy is currently in grade one and just a little trooper. He does what we ask of him, but you know, I want the way of the world for him to be easier.
Yes,
and I don't just want that for him. I want that for all children.
Yes,
and I think we get so much encouragement from this community. It's beautiful.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, so glad. And that's why we did it. Yep, yes. That's all we want.
Yes.
Yep. So, right. So you've sort of touched on 20 years of friendship. How did you meet? Was it at Area Singles Bar out in Croydon? Or?
JoJo?
Well, my lovely husband used to work with Kate.
I remember the night we met.
Oh, tell us.
You know me.
Yes, and Kate's my memory. Got a much better memory.
I've got a very spectacular memory for detail, which I really wish.
I think I remember it too. But you go. Coming back to that. You're the deep swimmer.
Funnily enough, we met at.
go.
Was it Dan O'Connell?
Yeah, it was a pub. Yeah. It wasn't too far off the mark.
St. Patrick's Day, of course, because if there's nothing your husband is not, he celebrates St. Patrick's Day. So, if you're ever quiet on that day, just give Joe's husband a call. I'm sure they'll be, where's the crack?
That's true.
But I remember it for a lot of different reasons. I had a lot of friends from different parts of my life on that. Look, we were all meeting there and some cracker things were going on.
Yeah.
And I had like this group of friends and this group of friends.
The world's colliding.
And it was like I was going around from friendship group to friendship group and just learning about people going, whoa. And in particular, one of my friends on the taxi on the way home had a bit of a dispute with a taxi driver. We had to tell her to calm her farm because we weren't actually out of the taxi yet, and that is indelible. And there were lots – it's just a very memorable night. But I met JoJo, so I think you just started dating.
Yes.
Wow.
And I thought, whoa, look at this cool chick. And I'm saying, approve, approve. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm saying to Joe's husband, approve, approve. And yeah, it was really, really nice.
And then we've been on holidays together. Oh. We've been overseas to Ireland together. Oh. And
one of the beautiful yeah. parts of JoJo is she really includes people. Mm. So I guess through much of our friendship, I've been single or on and off. And Joe just reaches out and says, I'm doing this. Would you like to come?
Oh, yes.
Best We're
people.
Going camping. Would you like to come?
Best and yeah.
I think well, not every
camping trips, didn't we?
That was yeah, fun. Yeah, yeah. And through that, I've met lots of lovely people as well. And, yeah.
Wow. The so universe really wanted you to be
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Sorry
amazing.
To Joe's husband. the link is awesome, here, though. You know, our
He's
link
the
is
link.
Strong
yes,
now.
Correct.
Oh, it usually doesn't matter is. How you got there.
I know. Usually is once the women find each other.
Yeah, they're like, discard the men.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful quality to your husband, though, and that is that he's a defender. Like, he's an upholder. Yeah. He's very much a, that's not right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's
I've
a bit
seen
of a justice
that.
Warrior.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And but also with a sense of humour.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's a very energetically social person, oh, yeah. which I probably
you would be like
I'm strongly
too.
Drawn to.
Yeah.
And I think at a workplace too.
Yeah.
Yeah. How great.
Friday lunch. Yeah. Off we go. And there's a few other extended friends on that group, isn't there, that we've
oh, yeah.
both had in
yeah,
our
absolutely.
Weddings and stuff, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I met you, JoJo, with a mutual friend's first birthday.
Yes.
Yeah?
Exactly.
Is that right?
That's
because
right.
I think that's when I met you.
That's
and
right.
so my girls were maybe nearly two.
Yes.
And your daughter was maybe nearly one-ish as well, do
yes.
you think? Or yeah.
Really little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really
little. And so that was nice. That was a birthday of pea shoots.
I know. It yeah. was gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I came back into contact with you when we were thinking about moving Molly to the special school.
I know.
Because your daughter was already there.
Yes.
And I didn't know anybody
you
who was there.
You didn't know anyone.
No.
And I know that you reached out to me and wanted to learn more about the
yeah.
special school.
Yeah.
And I know that since that time, I've felt really like I didn't support you as much
oh,
as I wanted to. No, but just so you know, I really did. I was like, oh my gosh, I wasn't there for you as much as I really wish I had been.
Mm.
And it's like, because my daughter's recently changed schools.
Yes.
And I've now know how much support someone needs
yeah, when you're
in that circumstance.
Yes.
But I was really
you
quite
couldn't.
Busy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also
fine.
Facing some
yeah.
personal stuff.
Yes.
So it was like, it's interesting that I was like going, oh, I don't know if I'm here, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, I feel so bad that I wasn't able to be there for you.
Oh.
Be as present. It's
yeah, I understand what you're saying,
you
but that's fine,
but
yeah. But
nah.
that's a good thing about P-mums is that we understand
yes.
each other.
Mm.
And so I was never thinking, oh, gosh, she's useless.
Did you?
No, but all I wanted to know was where do you buy the uniform?
Did you?
Yeah. You know
did
what
you?
I mean?
You like, just need really, those things, don't you?
You do. Yeah.
I just need the practical little
and someone
things.
Someone else to say, I like it.
I did
it's a
like
good decision.
It. Yeah, the school was a good school.
It was a good school.
I did like the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah but yeah. I wish I was there more for you at the time.
Oh,
just
well, thank
so you, know.
You. But I was fine. I was fine. And when you're
I
coming in.
I was just
in,
all wrapped up in my work at the time. I was just like, oh, I'm busy,
yeah,
busy,
that's
busy.
All right.
I was just trying to have this work distraction and all this sort
well,
of
we
stuff.
We all are.
Time.
But that's
Isn't
what
that
I mean. We're very forgiving.
We are very forgiving.
Never would I ever judge any P mum.
No.
Yeah.
Never. Because I know the internal stuff that's going on about everything.
Yep. And if you're dumping and running, not that we dump our children, that's then you've got shit that you've got to take care of.
Yeah.
So none of us are going to be like, oh, why didn't you stay and
oh,
chat?
Oh, never.
No,
yeah.
never.
No. And I'm not really like that.
No.
Yeah. So how about you both just share with a little bit about your births and maybe if that was the time of your diagnosis, tell us.
Yes. So in my case, I had ST first.
Mm.
So she's now a teenager.
Yeah.
And we found out at birth it was pretty, I'm going to say, obvious straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I held her in my arms, I'm the one who actually literally questioned it.
Right.
I literally said, oh, it looks like she has Down syndrome.
Right.
And then I remember all the professionals in the room going, what did you just say?
Yeah.
So I think they all may have queried it too.
Yeah.
And it's not it's a very confronting experience, to be honest. Some of the professionals were crying in the room.
Oh,
so this can occur.
Mm.
And one of the nurses was apologizing profusely and was saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry."
Oh, oh my gosh.
And oh. we had.
And you've just given birth to a beautiful baby, let's remember. So your yes. hormones and everything.
Yes.
And what was she apologizing for?
Yeah, it's extremely. This was a very unexpected situation.
Yeah.
So I'm not. I've really worked through all of this.
Yes.
I'm not. Actually very traumatized by this experience at all anymore.
Because you've got a beautiful child.
Isn't it really interesting?
Yeah, like it is time.
So back at the time, I have to admit I did go through a very significant trauma. Yeah, I did. And went through like that whole process. But now talking about it 15 years later.
Yep.
It's not so much of a thing for me.
Yes.
Which is important for everybody to know because people ask Mandy and I all the time, people with little children, and this is the truth.
This is the truth.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And other things have become a big issue over her life, but this is not so much of an issue, which is really quite interesting.
Yeah.
But, there was lots of things going. So at the time, the diagnosis occurred and she was, I'm going to say, fairly healthy as far as those scores at birth.
Yep.
But, she had a few things like jaundice, et cetera, and she picked up some heart abnormalities, which all people go, oh, and we did at the time too, don't get me wrong. We were like, oh, my gosh, heart, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's scary.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to play them down, but they were in the long run minor heart issues.
Right.
But they all required many, many appointments.
Yes.
And so that was her story at that stage. But her situation kind of quite quickly developed into other health issues. So as an infant, she then developed quite catastrophic seizures.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they're known as infantile spasms or West syndrome.
Right.
And so, well, they, yeah, so she, but they were not diagnosed.
Right.
So we just went on this real roller coaster of medical, this whole pathway of going, what is wrong with this child?
Mm.
In the meantime, we went for a trip to Ireland.
Oh.
So we were, oh, I was.
So how old was she when you went to Ireland?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Kate, I didn't know what was going on. So I was just on this whole, like, okay, I was halfway going, I just want a normal life.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were thinking, oh, she must be okay. She must be fine. People kept on saying she's okay. She just sleeps a lot.
Yeah.
She's okay. Lots of people, babies with Down syndrome sleep a lot.
Right.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, she's just sleeping a lot. But she was sleeping a lot.
Yeah.
And so we went to Ireland when she was 5 months to 6 months old.
Wow.
Very, very little.
Yep.
But at the time, I was one of these, like, corporate women that do things, you know, and I can kind of get on a bit of a go-getter sort of attitude,
or
I used to
when
I was younger. And so I was like, oh, we'd planned to go to Ireland to introduce the baby.
I
think every rituals. Or lots of new mothers or parents, you desperately try and cling on to, everything's going to be fine. I'm not going to be one of those people that, like,
never goes on a plane to Ireland for 47 hours.
Yeah. With a newborn baby.
And I just had this vision of taking her before she could walk and, so that we could spend time, take her to a certain house in Ireland where we could, have her in the bassinet and everything, and it would be easy. And, so we did that. But unfortunately, the medical advice was that she's fine, but she actually wasn't fine, and she was having seizures, but no one was picking it up. And, of course, as a little one, well, not of course, perhaps, but in our case, she was being seen by many people, many therapists,
many teams,
exactly. And they kept on saying, no, and I kept on being, I felt perceived as a hypervigilant mother, because I was kept on kind of questioning why she's sleeping so much.
Yeah.
And they kept on pacifying me. I felt pacified all the time whenever I raised anything.
Yes.
And but then eventually when she was overseas, she was getting sicker. I felt she was kind of having more symptoms. Some of it sort of these jerking motions, which are not some babies have the startle reflex.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So, of course, that's what they were saying they were. But then they became more prominent and they became more jackknife seizures.
Right.
And that people with Down syndrome sometimes don't do a full jackknife seizure because they have such low muscle tone.
Yeah.
And so eventually we got a video of this, and back in when she was little, we didn't all have devices like we do now. So eventually I got a good video of it and sent it through to the pediatrician, and it was told, okay, come into, you know, the emergency room straight away. And
it turns out mum was right.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Meanwhile, in between this, the hypervigilant mother who had been complaining, or not complaining, but had been saying, she's sleeping all the time. Why is she sleeping all the time? Was recommended to go to the mother-baby unit at Mitcham, which I kind of enjoyed.
Oh, most people do.
Look, I'd like
to go to one.
Yeah, I'd like to go now.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, let's go now.
Let's go now. Now's the mother-baby unit time.
Mother-teenage unit.
Someone just takes them away when they start coming at us. Gives us a little sleeping pill.
They roll their eyes, boom,
there
out.
You go. We're going to get your mum a cup of tea.
There's a market for this. Oh, sorry, JoJo.
Sorry.
But it was a bit of a mind warp because all the other babies weren't
sleeping.
Because they weren't sleeping.
Yes.
And my baby was there because she was sleeping too much. And
they didn't pick it up there either.
They didn't pick it up there either.
Wow.
Exactly.
So why did they think you were there then? Just for some rest?
I don't know.
Maybe they were checking on you.
I think they were checking on me.
Yeah.
Because I kept on. Because
they would have been watching and taking all notes.
I'm going to say I was denying that I had a postnatal. I believe I didn't.
Yeah.
But I think they thought I did.
Yes.
I believe they thought I did.
Of course.
I know I didn't.
Yes.
But I think they thought I did.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I was sent there.
I think I've told that story lots of times. Yeah. Where Shane said I went and saw him 1 week when the twins were like 4 months old or 5 months old. And then I went back the next week and he'd booked me in without even telling me. And I didn't end up going. Because he'd changed the boys' meds and they were actually getting a few moments of rest. And then he's like, it's very hard to tell the difference between exhaustion and, you know, PTSD or depression or whatever. Okay. So probably they're like, we don't know what to do. Let's pop her in there for three days. You get all your meals delivered. People complain about hospital food. I'm like,
This is in Australia. In Victoria, there's three public early parenting centres, and then there's a few private ones.
Yes.
So I'm just explaining that to the listeners. Yeah.
Yep. Right, yeah. You have to go on a waiting list normally, but if you've got private health insurance in Australia.
Yeah, you just need a referral.
Or if the public ones are free. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to wait.
Mm. So then after you came out of Mitcham mother-baby unit and going to Ireland, then you actually, people believed you.
Yeah, we'd been to Ireland, we came back, I went to the mother-baby unit, and then got the video. Then the people believe me.
Right.
So that was the sequence.
That was the sequence. Right. Wow. So, and that took 6 months or something?
Yes. So eventually at eight months it was.
Right.
Yep. So we're now 8 months.
Yeah.
So she finally got diagnosed with this catastrophic form of epilepsy and then was put on very severe medications. Mm. And they're not easy for very, very young babies to cope with.
Yeah.
The first course did not work, but she was treated by excellent doctors at the Royal Children's Hospital.
God bless the Royal Children's.
And then the first course did not work for her, but then the second course did, thank goodness. They can be extremely tricky for the body to cope with, and it's also the diagnosis is not good. Like some children do not come out of this disorder, and they can be very severely impacted as well. So one thing about it was that some people with Down syndrome are less have a more positive prognosis than people without Down
right,
syndrome.
Okay. But, yep. Yeah. Yep.
So Sheena.
We've got a few lovely pea shoots whose parents are going through this with their little toddlers. Mm. And
Yeah.
It's
and we know some
hard
people
to get answers.
That, quite a few people that have had this this issue. Mm. So she's my daughter has come out of it and she's doesn't have any remaining issues from it now. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's good. But it has left us with lots of concerns about the medical system, I think.
Yes.
All the way through.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But also respect for it as well.
Some of the
lovely neurologists and some of the lovely nurses.
I know.
They have been amazing, but also, you know, you're going, oh, some of them missed things along the way too.
Yes. Listen to the mothers.
Yeah. From a friend's perspective too, I think you've had some rotten deals with some of the professionals to let their feelings show in front of, you know, let's not be crying.
No, let's not be sort crying of thing. When that's, someone gives birth to a baby.
That's not on.
No. Oh,
yeah, and I think that's just a revolting thing to watch a friend.
Yes. I was wanting to say, what was it like for you to watch this?
This is a really interesting thing about when Jojo and her husband had some time before, I think it was before you were married. Did you live in Ireland?
We did. We lived in Ireland before.
There were some great drinks.
As there always is in Ireland.
Yeah. No, this was before. This was your farewell.
Yes.
And there was a photo taken on the night and we were, I don't know why I was at your house, but I was. And your husband commented that someone had said, oh, is this Jojo's sister?
Oh.
And being moderately older than Jojo and also I was just like, athletic Joey's my sister? Okay.
Oh. And I was a lot more athletic in that stage than I am now.
You're beautiful, Jojo. So from then we sort of ironically called each other sister.
Oh.
And more ironic, maybe not so nice, is the fact that we both have sisters. Plenty. So,
That's all right.
New sisters.
Sister friends.
Sisters by another mister.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but watching Jojo go through this was quite an eye-opener for me.
Yeah.
And then having not the similar experience, there was less complications in my birth, I guess, but
still similarities.
Having that shock, the diagnosis, and I'm really aware that in some ways there's a good part of getting an early diagnosis because you're focused and you know and you understand. You know you've got a journey.
Yeah.
And you know you need your supports. Again, that journey is so it's undefined and scary.
Mm. Yeah.
But I remember Jo being such a competent mum the first time round. It was like, wow, she is. I am not the most organised person. I'm a little bit lastminute.com, but
I don't know anyone like that.
She's looking at me.
So. Seeing. I think also, Jojo, you've forgotten you started a blog as well.
Oh, did you? That was the time of the blogging.
I started one too, but I did one entry.
Right. Yeah, I did
yes,
not.
Yes, yes.
Mm. Ah. You did a few entries?
Yeah, heaps.
I remember telling my family about you. What a competent woman.
But it was good actually to do that.
Knocking out those stereotypes.
It was a lot about her medical stuff at that stage.
It's a bit therapeutic as well.
Is.
And to tell people because people don't know.
Yeah.
And then you're like, this is what our life's like today.
Mine was called Trying to Find Shoes. And that's because it was such a big thing for me with the twin girls to try and find shoes.
I know. Yeah.
Right? Mine. It had one thing. Yeah. But I couldn't put the photo in, so I was like, that's it. So there you go. That was my starting off with blogging.
Yeah. Podcasting, much easier.
Yeah, I just have to talk.
You just have to talk. So when you were pregnant, did you know that you were carrying a child with Down syndrome or did you find out at the birth too?
We had an at-birth diagnosis as well. As I mentioned, I am a little bit older than Jojo and our children are 8 years apart. So I am an older first-time mother, geriatric mother.
Yes. Okay,
great term.
Yep.
But I guess I felt the oxygen leave the room.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes. And it was not funny. C-section.
Yeah.
Happy. I was actually happy with – I actually suspected I would be a C-section if it wasn't coming along. There was a meconium poop.
Yep.
And then out pops my beautiful son.
Yeah.
And I looked and I went, oh, very small limbs, like holding up. Just a quick glimpse and I went, really small, thinking, oh. And then I looked at his beautiful face and I noticed one eye was slightly upturned.
Yeah.
Sort of an almond shape.
Yeah.
And I just went, ooh. And then off they went and resus and everything else.
Yep.
And then they put him on my chest and it was like, hello, little one. Hello, beautiful. And we were just like, oh.
Oh, it's a moment.
And overcomes the neonatal physician.
Yeah.
So Junior Berger's scores are good, la, 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 he resuscitated well, but I'm sorry to inform you, I think your son has Down syndrome.
So and they did they say it like that?
Yes.
They said I'm sorry the sorry.
They said the sorry and I will always, I will always remember that sorry.
Yeah.
And I don't blame this physician at all. And in fact, he was really good to us. He treated us really nicely. But there's...
But we can change the narrative
going forward.
You don't
have to say sorry.
So we have lots and lots of beautiful doctors who listen.
They do.
And they don't have to say that.
And then the next thing I knew, our little JB was being trolleyed off with my husband and I was wheeled off to recovery.
All by yourself. That's the worst thing about having a cesarean.
That's a tricky thing.
It's really tricky.
But on my way out, and the peas will love this, two beautiful midwives, a really beautiful experienced midwife and a junior student came up to me and like leant on my shoulders. Your child is beautiful. Your son is amazing. Oh. Congratulations.
Oh. Yes.
We are so happy to have been here to witness that. Oh. And it was just like, and I sort of said, oh, thank you. And then the orderly gave me a tissue.
Oh.
And, so in that way, lovely. But then the recovery area, I think I might have been making a few people concerned. And I got changed. The nurse was changed.
Because I could not speak. Shift change.
I could not speak. I would be screaming. I'd be howling if I spoke.
Yeah.
And it was a really like... Where's my husband?
Yes, I know.
Oh, he's gone up. Okay. And then our anaesthetist said, so that was a surprise, was it? And every inch of my body, I was refraining from saying, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Ooh, read the room, buddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then so silence was golden. And then they changed the nurse and then the other nurse was much more aware of human nature and was a little bit more caring or something or a bit more comfortable with me in that stressful state. And so that was our birth experience. I did have some postpartum complications and there was a possibility that I would have to have surgery back in those rooms and I refused to go. And then, you know, the nurse was saying, I'll come with you. I had the very best of care, I must say. Thank you, Australian health system.
Yes,
we're and very thank God lucky. For private health as well. But and clever, sensible doctors. But in the end, it worked out that we didn't have to go back there. But I understand that trauma and that birthing process. But as Jojo said, that there was times that I wouldn't have been able to tell that story without bursting into tears. And a little voice wobble I'll allow, but
Well, thanks for sharing it with us.
Yes, thank you.
It's very
And I think if you take everything away from it, but when a woman has a cesarean, the father or the partner of the woman or the care person goes with the baby. You lie in theatre for an hour being stitched up on your own. You just hear all the staff talking. Then they wheel you off into somewhere else by yourself. This is a terrible system. And so I knew this because I'd had a cesarean with scholarship. So I brought someone with me when I had the twins because I
Never
knew.
Kate.
And I said, somebody must stay with me because – You don't have a voice to yell at, I've got a runny nose or, you know, and you're lying flat on your back, you're completely numb, so vulnerable. You can't be more vulnerable. And my baby's, of course, whisked off to NICU. Mm. So I just think, why do we think this is okay, this system of giving birth? And why wasn't some beautiful friend called in for you, or a social worker or a chaplain, or, you know, because, of course, your beautiful, beautiful baby's exceptional, but you've still been given some news that you're trying to process and you can't get up.
And I will say, I think that that experience was not helpful to get on with things.
Yes, no. That's right.
It was almost like another, oh, so, but what about the way I was just treated?
Yes,
like,
that's right. Yeah.
And it's, I don't know how to fix it, but I've heard other mums with a stressful, difficult birth saying, well, that way, and dad goes that way with the baby. And also I was worried about my husband.
Of course.
I'm like, I need to see my, like, I really had a need to see him. Yes. And I felt, we have to be back.
Yeah. We need to get on the same page and talk about this. And he's my person that loves this child as much as me.
Yeah.
It's a really traumatic time. There's a lot of post-traumatic stress from difficult deliveries.
When he eventually did come into my room with, you know, how they put them in the little goldfish bowl, little crate, and he was wheeling and he was all in scrubs, and I was like, oh, you need a stethoscope and you're practically my dream doctor, mate. And I felt just, oh, we're here.
Yeah, our families together.
The three of us.
It's happening.
This is my start. And it was interesting though. I do remember my husband coming back to me and just saying, he's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's amazing. And there we go.
Yes.
And that's true.
That is true.
And did you ring JoJo? Or
how did that go?
So we had the suspected. So there is an actual test that happens for babies suspected of having Down syndrome post with an at-birth diagnosis. Mm. So you do wait a little while.
Right.
You know, what are we waiting for? But just to confirm. So we send out a deliberate text message not being about Down syndrome, and I really ran these comms quite strictly.
Yeah.
I was onto the marketing, and the message was, we are delighted to announce Junior Berger's here. He was very small and was in special care nursery. So I appreciate some of that journey of a lot of the peas have had with it's not your normal experience. It's not everyone coming in and, you know, with
being
the balloons.
Happy.
It's
sort of
let's not have all the visitors in. Yes. But we sent out a message and we said he's currently in the special care nurseries learning to feed. And he's been closely monitored as they suspect he has Down syndrome. Regardless of this, we think he's perfect.
Aww.
And we're looking forward to watching him grow.
Oh,
and,
beautiful.
Beautiful.
JoJo came back and her message was beautiful. It just said, everything will be okay.
Aww.
And Kate did just write just the most beautiful message. Like, that message is gorgeous. And, like, Kate did half joke there saying that she was in charge of comms. but I think that is something that we do when we do get a diagnosis or a partial, like a partial diagnosis as you'd had at the time, is that people mightn't realise this. Is there is a lot of thought that goes into those communications. Because I just remember back.
I can imagine.
When my husband, I think, was in charge of that.
He said little redhead girl.
He did write a beautiful message too. And I remember, I remember his very nice comms as well, because ours was probably in a different era when we were using the Nokia.
Yeah. A-A-A-A-B-B-B-B-B. That was the same as me.
And I remember you were in a nearby hospital because I was working in the city at that stage, and
we were really rewarded with our friendship with you guys, because both your husband and you were working close by, and we got visits together. We got visits individually, and because it was a surprise diagnosis, Mama's tears were flowing, and we stayed in the private hospital for 11 days.
Oh, yes, good.
It's almost and like friends are going, how long have you been there? Ask no questions. I'm glad my baby. I was honest with that. And I think being a bit older too, I'm like, I'm asking for it.
Yep. Yeah.
This is what I need.
Oh, yep. Mistake. Yep.
We paid, right. But I felt I couldn't leave Junior Burger.
Yeah.
I just felt I couldn't. And, you know, well, the feeding and everything. I think they did a great
job. Yeah.
But, yeah, JoJo and her husband, yeah, they really treated us and it felt so we felt we were home, I guess.
Oh.
And it's there's something about that diagnosis, and I felt this too. Should we say shout out to Down Syndrome Victoria?
Yes.
They do some great work around supporting parents with a new diagnosis.
Mm. They do.
Life-changing
stuff. What do they do? Tell us.
So,
well, what did you receive from them?
When our daughter was born, we had a visit from a new parent support worker.
Yep.
And she was wonderful. So our daughter, I think, got discharged from hospital when she was about 6 days old, approximately. Like, it's kind of nice that you don't remember all the details now, because, like, she is 15. But the new parent support, we contacted them when we were still in hospital, and sometimes they do go into the hospitals if you get onto them early enough. And our daughter was born, you know, in the holiday period. So,
this was ours.
In fairness. Come on. No, that's a hard ask. Sorry.
Get the volunteers. The office was closed, wasn't it? Where are they? Oh, office closed.
That's when you go, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough.
And also it was over the weekend, so those tests that Kate was talking about were also a little bit delayed because of, you know, the weekend and everything like that. So, but it was, I think it was quite clear in our case that she had Down syndrome. Mm. Although we did, you know, there was the – yes and no factor in our minds as well, I remember. Mm. Yes, but DSV came to our home and gave us a small gift, or gave our daughter a small gift, which was just gorgeous, and I still have it to this day. It was just adorable.
Don't tell my husband that, he didn't get a gift.
Well, backlog, DSV.
Well, come on.
Thank God, Annalise has got that sorted.
Yeah, that's right. 21 gifts.
21
is here
gifts.
Now.
Great.
It was just this gorgeous little pink singlet, but it was just the, you know, the smallest gift, but it was
it's meaningful.
It was meaningful. Yes. And also, you know, a package with some information.
Yep.
But it was more the connection with the woman, and also the information that she shared. But also at the time they were giving out a list of possible issues that your child might have.
Yep.
And we might not want to connect this to DSV, but I think this is something that's interesting to talk about.
Yes.
I suppose
it's there. I mean, really, I always say to people who are pregnant with twins, or when they really need to know that there's a really high risk that they're going to end up in NICU and special care. But people who are pregnant with twins probably don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But actually it will lessen their trauma long term.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's this really where do we go with this? You know, do we tell you? But I think you don't have to find out straight away.
I wouldn't say to someone if someone came to me and said,
I'm 8 weeks pregnant with twins, I wouldn't say to them, well, you'll end up in the NICU, because it's not even true.
Thank you, Kate.
Right?
Yes, they've stopped doing this. I have to say they've stopped doing this.
Great.
Or it's done in a different format, and I'm not in, I don't know what they do now.
You on that.
Okay.
Yes.
We didn't get a sheet.
Yes.
Okay.
So no present and no sheet. The funding was down.
Had to download it yourself. They sent you a link.
So there was a beautiful booklet, and it said welcome.
Yeah.
And there was some very good ideas around communication about how to let people know. And they actually gave scripts of this is a text message you could send. And some of my contacts through our support group, my time support group, have actually, they said, we did that word for word.
Oh, that's great.
Good.
We'd already covered off the comms, thanks to me.
Yeah.
Something I could do.
Yeah.
We had a lovely support worker come to our – we rented an apartment in East Melbourne to be close to the hospital
for
the Boobalicious, because we had a nasal gastric tube.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting sort of the news of diagnosis,
But also then, in the nursery.
But then also the special care nursery was a bit different and yes. a bit different path. It wasn't one I was used to.
Yeah.
A lot of my family do big buffer babies and they're out and, you know, they're ready Absolutely. To go. And this was a different path. And
well, I didn't know anyone.
No.
Who'd been.
I only had Lisa. Interesting, isn't it?
But now I know. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like we were really focused on, you know, trying to get the feeding happening and the sucking.
That's the immediate start. And you do become obsessed
because
with it.
You're like, this is what I can. As soon as the nasal gastric tube was out,
we can go home.
And that was something we really wanted to do.
Yes. Yep.
And I guess, and then there was like, not today.
Yeah.
Maybe. No.
Yeah.
And you get to know all the midwives and the nurses and blah, blah, blah. It's quite the routine. You do get used to it and you meet the twin mums.
Yep. We're in there.
There's a lot of them.
Funnily enough, I did meet a mum from my mother's group.
Oh, really?
Unbeknownst to us.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to meet, you know, the people you meet in those circumstances. Yep. And they just stopped taking your name off the bottle and they used to have your address. And funnily enough, if I'd seen the address.
Actually, ours had our address.
Yeah,
if I'd seen the address, I would have gone, hey, we're neighbours.
Yeah.
But instead, we sat down at mother's group and she's like, hey, cop buddies. So that's a really special link. And,
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that special care nursery was an interesting experience. But Junior Burger was really healthy.
Yep.
Bit of blood sugar issues at the start, which was stressful because a lot of, you know, pricks in the feet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I really wanted to breastfeed. My milk came in a big way. I think all of my friends knew about my milk. And Daisy. Something also about seeing Jojo and her husband visiting us, we felt connected.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what the P Tribe is so good for as well. It's like you're understood.
Yeah.
You get it. And much as I am so grateful for other support, I don't mean that in any way to undermine that, but it is a really special and important friendship for us and will be forever grateful.
Yes. Yep.
And I fear I may have been a bit of a rectum when ST was born. Or
No, you were, though.
I know you say that, but I feel like I had to go over to all my friends that had kids and apologize. Oh, I didn't get it.
I think we all know you can get it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It's still if you're a kind person.
Yeah, you try.
Then we can handle it. Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So how long was Junior Burger in special care?
He was in for 3 weeks.
Okay.
3 weeks. So
that's a decent amount of time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There was a department for the week and our dreams were let's go home. And we went home and then we started our life together.
Yeah.
But unfortunately I had some postpartum complications due to a annoying fibroid.
Right.
And I ended up in hospital at the 6 week mark for 3 weeks.
Then,
so the first 12 weeks of JB's life were a bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
And while I say I got the very best of care, you know, I think there were words around hysterectomy or something like that, but they managed to operate that sort of thing. But like just very strange occurrences, and you think, what next?
Yes.
What next?
What next? Yeah, what Come next? On, really? Yeah. And the other thing that I didn't understand about Down syndrome was there are complications. So we had the cardiologist in and he was asking things like, was this not picked up on the scan? And we're like, no, it was not. and that's interesting. But, I think the gastrointestinal stuff. What I was going to say about the booklet, though, it talks about a few other complications, but it's not a list to tick and flick. I thought it was a really good document, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, when we received the document, it was a list.
Yeah.
And then
did it say things like intellectual disability, or was it?
It was a list of all
physical.
So not just the features of Down syndrome, but all of the possible complications that people with Down syndrome may have
for
their lifetime.
Oh, no.
So, for example, leukemia is more prominent. Mm. For example, maybe mental health. Mm. I can't remember if that was.
Yeah. I think dementia.
Dementia.
Right.
Many things, conditions. Epilepsy might have been on there. Eyesight. Eyesight is extremely common in people with Down syndrome. Mm. Many people with Down syndrome wear glasses.
Hearing.
Yeah. Hearing for sure. But then I remember showing, and this was a very, very good comment from a pediatrician that we had. Said, well, they're not going to have all of these all at once. Mm. And I was like, oh yeah, true. You know?
Yeah.
And I know that's a really simple comment, but at the same time it was extremely helpful.
Yes.
And
I'm like, stick with you.
That's actually quite useful.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's had a few of these things across her life and it's just like, but at the same time, it's not like they all fall on you all at once.
No.
But you get this list and it is not a very useful list to get when your baby is
You're just trying to establish feeding, sleeping, how many nappies a day we're going through. You can wait.
Get this list.
No.
And you can wait. It's not appropriate.
Well, I think they've updated it. Yes. Sorry, I'm going to cut over. That definitely wasn't the comms that we got. We got a really nice booklet. It was really useful. And the other thing I remember, and this might be useful for new parents, is I didn't know how to describe someone without a disability without calling them normal.
Yes.
And I asked the lovely person from DSV, and I hope she listens. I'm sure she would. If she's not, I'm going
to send it to her.
She's still a friend, and I'm very I did an NDIS support thing with her too. So we were like table buddies.
Yeah.
But I said, how do I know that, you know, JB's got a disability. How do you refer to children without it? What are they? I'm going to say normal, but I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you might say typical
or
typically developing. And I'm like, oh, good, because it is a new language.
That's right. It's a new language.
A whole new language.
One of the things I love about this podcast too is people like Michelle Laurie coming on going, I don't know what the right words are. Can we all just calm down? Because I was getting quite outraged as being a new mum on this journey with people that weren't getting it right. And, like, what was I expecting? I would have got it wrong with you.
Yeah. I'm sure. Tell us about your the early years. How did you navigate playgroups, or you went to My Time? Kate, what did you do, JoJo?
Well, I just kept really busy.
Yeah.
I just really embraced it all. I just kept very active. I just, as in with ST, I kept extremely active, did lots of early intervention with her. So when you have a child with a known disability or a known diagnosis, it's much more easy to be in. And I was able to enroll her in many of these programs, and we do live in an area where there are a lot on offer. Mm. Or back when she was born, there was a lot of openings if you put her name down.
Mm.
So, yeah, she was able to access many of these programs. So we were just busy doing lots of those things.
Yes.
So she attended early intervention from, believe it or not, well, initially in the first year from the age of 1 month old, believe it or not.
Yeah. No, I believe
that. You know, and that was just having DHHS come into the home and they would just do some gentle physiotherapy when she could be awake because, as I mentioned, she would be sleeping quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think they were also informing us as to things we could do with her a lot of the time because she was still so little.
Yeah.
But it also things like telling us about breastfeeding and things like that and just keeping us educated. And then when she was one, she transitioned over into a group early intervention program.
Mm-hmm.
And all across this time I'd be attending other – I really liked them. So I'd attend other things like the My Time group, and I attended Mother Goose.
Yes.
So those sort of programs. So in that era, it wasn't like it is now, which is, I think, I'm not really sure how it works now.
Well, it's NDIS now.
It's NDIS, so it's quite different.
I think the difference between ST's time and Junior Burger's time is it was a lot more in the home for us.
Right.
Yeah. So we missed a lot. Yeah, we missed out on the camaraderie of other parents.
Yes.
Which is an interesting thing.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So by the age of one.
Even my therapy. Yeah. Yeah. My therapies would tell me it's changed now. Yes. So best practice is in the home, instruct the parent how to give the therapies.
Yes. Right. I mean, I can see why. The pressure's off. Also,
well, I was reflecting on this, writing the book, because I was thinking I was so busy.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't busy and there wasn't all those things to go to, what would it have been like? I would have probably been lonely, more lonely.
Yeah.
Yes. So I didn't mind being busy. I quite liked the appointments.
Yes.
So doing all of that early intervention and doing all of the – so she was involved in or lots – I was involved in lots of the My Time groups. What else was it? She had the Mother Goose, early intervention. And, but she also, like, continued to have, because I'd mentioned that she'd had the epilepsy conditions.
Yes.
But she also, until she was about the age of 4 or 5, until primary school, she continued to be quite a moderately unhealthy child.
Right.
So we were also still following up on lots of medical things too. So it was a fairly busy woman.
Oh, really?
Appointments.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But she was a beautiful kid. Of course. She was a vivacious child and full of life and full of personality.
Yes. Yep.
And one thing we did, which I would recommend, well, I don't want to give advice, but I would recommend in many respects, was we did a Auslan course and did some with other parents and other lovely parents we knew, organised this with a proper Auslan teacher and learnt some Auslan. And so we did a lot of sign with her.
Yes.
And our daughter's speech is really very, very good. So she initially learnt a lot of sign. And she picked that up very well.
Yeah.
So that's also something we did in the early years too.
Yeah. Busy, busy, busy.
What about you?
So as you can tell, I was busy. Yep. I've wound that back a lot. So,
well, I think it just fits. It fits in at that stage of your life.
But I think
maybe your structure to the day.
I think that was it.
But I have friends with just, you know, typically developing kids that had playgroup, library, water time. I was like, every day they were doing something. So I think it's also a thing of being a mother. And
some people
to be home.
Yeah. And some people need to keep busy.
Yeah. And you've got this when your child has an additional need or a disability, you're really driven to give them that best start.
Oh, that's right. Really intervention push.
Maybe it was that. I was very motivated, I think, in those early years. I remember saying that to somebody, like, there's nothing more motivating.
No, there isn't.
So I was so motivated.
Totally.
And because I think, I don't know if it's said as much now, but it was definitely said when all of my big kids were little. Oh, the first 5 to 7 years are just the most important. But actually, we now know the brain just develops forever.
Yes.
So actually, you don't have to burn yourself out.
That was said a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah. A lot.
First 3 years, I was told.
Yeah, you've really got to get them doing the same thing because otherwise, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, no. Now I'm like, no.
Yes.
It's okay to have a day off and just sit in the autumn leaves.
That's
all right?
Right.
It is okay.
Yeah,
you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah. But
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, you went to My Time. What else did you do?
So I had 10 months off work. I felt quite keen to go back to work.
Yeah.
I think for me, I needed that. I'm going to call it a distraction. Obviously, I have a healthy work life, and I think it's really good if a woman wants to go back to the office to go back. And I knew my character, I needed to do that. Yeah. Because I was actually worried I'd go down the rabbit hole of a little bit overbearing around the disability space.
Yeah.
And that would just really stress me. So I went back to work 3 days initially, and then bumped it up to four. Ooh. We were lucky we had good childcare.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he go to a centre or did you
he went to a lovely community around the centre and we've made a lot of friends in the local area regarding that.
Yeah, that's
great.
And
so important. Yeah.
And I felt he was really well cared for there. I think his kinder year there was tricky. I think that free play nature of kinder or did not work. It's like, just be child led and don't let him lead you. You will get only books and jumping. So that was a little bit tricky, and as a result of that, I changed my work arrangements and changed jobs to a less, not a lesser role, but not as much responsibility. So no direct reports and a little bit more flexibility, which I think was a good decision. And I think part of that also came from hearing other mums describe, actually, that doesn't work for us.
Yes.
We need to change it. And That was great. And similar to Jojo, we had early intervention from 4 months old. We were picked up. We had the Better Start funding.
Yes.
Yeah.
And something else, something early intervention, the ECIS package.
Yep.
So we had Better Start and early intervention, which life-changing, thank goodness. You know, some of these NDIS sessions, I met families whose kids never had appropriate funding.
I know.
Never had. And it's like, we're learning, but please do better, NDIS.
Please do better because there are children falling through the cracks.
Correct. Yes. And also, like, you're not an expert on disability, but you're thrown into that space.
Yeah.
And I really relied on our professionals and so lucky we live in a major city.
I know.
In a country that has these resources. But I think a lot of it, the therapy for my pea shoot was also therapy for me.
Yeah. Yep.
So I could ask those questions of, oh, do you think, also get support, or actually sometimes I would just moan about things that had happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other thing I sort of started when our son was born was the list of people who'd annoyed me, and that was.
It's in her phone. She's just going to pull it out.
And being the gunner person that I am, I was going to write a book.
You still might.
I might. But anyway, it was going to be called, well, my sister and I named it in, my blood sister named it in the hospital. It was called Totes in a Probes.
Oh,
and we were discussing about
that. That's a good book.
Who would get whole chapters, which is an awful thing to say.
No, I think it's actually helpful.
Well, it's like the rectums.
Yes, because you're acknowledging this has happened.
The shield is up.
Yes.
This is what we do. And it's silly because we all know people that maybe get under our skin or just behave in ways, and you're forced to be with them, whether they're a colleague, a family member, a neighbour, whatever. But
it's different when it's your child. It's different. The mama bear comes out and you just want everybody to be better.
Yeah.
That's all. You don't want anyone else to go through it.
And that delicate task of re-education or ignore. And some people I've just had to say, that's actually.
Oh, yeah.
Please don't say that.
We say this, not this. Yeah. Just to let you know. I usually start with just to let you know. I'm going, don't say it again. But one thing listening to the podcast is just giving people that space to make those errors has been really useful for me. And having that, like, well, we're all, let's just all try and do better.
Yeah, let's just try and do better. And if someone says to you, that really hurts me, or it hurts my child, or it hurts my mum when you say that, you go, oh, okay, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. I would private message people who would have said spastic.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll private message them and said, we've just been in the Monash for a whole day getting Botox injections into my daughter's spastic muscles.
Yep.
So it's really like, I'm really upset that you used that word. Then they write back, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Because they hadn't thought about it.
So I had to like really say, this is why.
Yes. Someone said it actually on the weekend. I haven't heard it for so long, and I was at a Pink Stumps fundraiser for breast cancer at our cricket club, and someone said, oh, I'm gonna go easy on the drink, I don't want to get
Yeah.
But there were so many people and I was so taken aback that the moment had like passed yes. and I thought they didn't even know they'd said it and I didn't really know them.
I know.
But I'm like, oh, right, that's right. People say it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's yeah. a funny circumstance. I had this discussion over the park. Mm. Remember what I had to debrief with you? I don't know what to say in this circumstance.
Yeah. It's really hard because you don't want to – these people are nice people. That's what I think, like Mandy and I have adopted the culture of calling in, not calling out. So
Mia Friedman talked about
it. She did, and it's really clever. And I don't want to say, don't say that. Do you know what you're saying? Because, no, they don't.
Which we probably have.
Oh, and I will sometimes. Don't get me wrong. There are times.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think that then they would just be like, oh, gosh, I wouldn't have wanted to hurt you.
Mm.
You
know? I asked ST's brother who attends a mainstream school if it's said.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because he's just started high school.
Yes.
Or the R word, if it's that.
Yes.
Said. And he actually said no because I was curious.
Yes.
It's definitely in year nine. Yeah. My boys are in year nine.
Yeah.
And it is said.
Yeah.
I had it at work from a beautiful colleague who I really respect and admire and was working closely with. And it was like I was frozen.
Yes.
I know.
And
it's a physical reaction.
It was like, oh, and I just said, oh, I was going to go to the bathroom. And
yes.
I just went, I can't fight that fight at work.
No.
And the other thing about work was I definitely had my work hat on and then my mum hat.
Yeah.
And I didn't share Junior Berger's diagnosis with work, but a few people knew and then obviously a few people that I didn't realise knew. And that was a bit of a tricky thing, but for me to exist as a mum and as someone who was thriving in a career space, I just needed that separation. So I'm sure a few people go, "Oh, she's not very authentic."
No,
but it's like, actually, this is me private. And this is my life here and my home life.
And
is
motherhood's
my home
not all we are.
Correct.
My husband was the same. He didn't tell people at work. So,
my husband's the same. Hasn't disclosed it at work a lot. Mm. And like I know as well when I also worked even when ST was really little, when I was super busy.
Yeah.
I was also working part-time.
Yeah.
And but I was also more emotional a little bit at work on occasion, especially when she was going through some very significant health problems.
Yep.
And once or twice I would have some tears.
Yeah, of course.
People would be like, oh, you – and I'm sort of like, can't you be a little bit emotional? And it was sort of a bit strange that they were like – they would never accept that.
Yeah.
Either they just wanted to not accept your emotion at all.
No.
And I found that so strange as well that they just wanted to sort of send you off to their employee.
Psychologist on the phone.
I'm like, no, this is not what I need.
That's free. just saying, if you're going through a hard time, there is some free counselling.
Yes. There is, but it was like that. They don't want to talk to you, or they don't want to even understand your problem. But they just want to send you off to some stranger. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm actually fine.
I'm just having a bad moment.
I'm just having 2 minutes. So trust me, I'll be fine in 5 minutes.
Yeah, the turnaround time.
It was a bit strange, but I think we should be allowed to work. I think we're
okay. Oh, we are allowed to work.
I'm actually really I'm a good worker.
But same.
At that particular time, I was just having a bad moment.
And you're exhausted.
We need grace for all people because very few of us are going to go through life without – you may be chosen to not have children or you may not be able to have children, but you may still be at work one day and you get a phone call that your dog's been hit by a car or that your mother's taken ill or that someone you love's got cancer.
Or and someone at work announces a pregnancy.
And your world will collapse. You know, and you're – someone has gotten pregnant and you can't.
Yeah.
We're allowed to give grace to that moment. Mm. Right? Yeah. And we're allowed to have days where we're not so great because 98% of the time we're awesome, all of us.
Yes.
So let's all stop trying to be perfect because, it's the enemy of good,
isn't it?
It's
like you say, it's a bit of grace.
Grace. Yes.
That's the only word. Really nice. Yeah.
Well, we're changing the world, so. I'm sure everybody's listening. I'm mindful that we've kept you here for a long time. We've only heard a tiny snippet of your story, but what would you like to tell us about living with your children now and what are some of the stereotypes or stigmas that drive you up the wall?
Oh, something I know that really drove me up the wall sorry to go right back to when she was born.
No, it's fine.
But when she was born, we just got lots of cards to say, welcome to ST. It's just wonderful. And she will bring you so much joy. And it was just such a triggering word.
Yeah, okay.
And I just really rejected that word joy.
Right.
And it was something about it. And I think it was to do with this stereotype about people with Down syndrome always being happy.
I know.
And I think I mentioned quite early that my daughter actually has a lot of anxieties and she has the full range of emotions just like anyone else. And she has lots of really great days.
Of course.
And, you know, and lots of days where she's struggling. And I think, yeah, and Kate, you've also had experiences like this as well.
Yeah.
So I think I get a lot of, I got a bit of their angels put on earth and it was just like, no.
They're people.
People, but also people. I think it's quite an ordinary life in some ways.
Yes.
I'm not, I don't have other children, so I can't comment on that, but I feel like we go through what every family goes through. Oh, school's back. Oh, it's school holidays. Like, you know,
Gotta make lunches today.
Is there any break? Get the bath.
It's quite an ordinary life, and we haven't got particularly amazing stories, but we wanted to share on the podcast that, you know, a life with someone with Down syndrome is a good life.
Yes. Mm.
And the other thing that used to drive me up the wall was when I would reveal that there was a diagnosis in our family, that people's first reaction was sorry.
Yeah.
And I think I hope for a world one day where if you say, I have a diagnosis.
Yep.
They just say, oh, well, what does that look like for your family?
Yes.
Or, oh,
preach it,
that's,
sister.
That's nothing. It's water off a duck's back. It's like people with green eyes going to work well in society.
Yeah.
People with Down syndrome should have those opportunities to any disability. And being a gunner, I would really like to start something up that would give those pathways or work in an area that had that, because there's a whole population out there that are sadly ignored.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Could really
and it
add-
starts from people thinking, oh, it really does. Like I met someone the other day I haven't seen for years and years and years and years. They were from my old life. And she was sort of pushing me on what are the kids doing and what's this and what's that. And then I just said to her, oh, well, you know, the boys, they're here, but they live with this, this and this. She said, oh, Kate. And I thought, oh, it's been so long since someone's given me that response.
Mm.
And I said, oh, no. I said, we have a great life together. Yeah. But I just thought, that's right. But I've surrounded myself with like-minded people.
Yeah.
So I don't have to hear it so often. But when it's someone who I didn't know very well and I thought, oh, that's right, people feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You forget because none of my friends do.
And sometimes I also wonder if some of her anxieties aren't necessarily because she has Down syndrome but might also because of her life experiences.
Yes, well. Of course.
100%.
Medical interventions.
Exactly.
Bullying at school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That
a lot of people face.
Because when she was young, she didn't have these issues that she has definitely developed.
Hormones as an adolescent.
All of it.
So that is a very big factor for her. So, it's interesting to reflect on as well. And she may not be having these issues as she gets a little
bit
older.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
right. We were talking about the grief of a diagnosis of Down syndrome, and there's a lot of people in society that really celebrate Down syndrome, and there's some families, and I think I'll put my family in this, that we're not ready to celebrate that diagnosis.
Yes.
Yep.
We love our child.
Of course. Understand.
Yes. And we think he is awesome.
Yes.
But I'm not ready to, And I think that's a tricky one because there's different people in that area.
Yes. And you're allowed to be who you are.
The other query that is a bit annoying is, did you know?
Yes.
Oh.
I just can't fathom that.
What does that mean? What are they saying when they say that? What's it? I know. What do you think they're saying?
Did we have the test? And
yes.
Then,
did you choose?
Did you choose?
You get that asked a lot when your child is younger.
Yes.
You don't get asked that a lot when your child gets a little bit older.
Right.
I wonder if society is moving on a bit too.
I just hope so. I don't know why they feel more entitled to ask it when the kids are younger.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I've just developed a more aloof face or something.
And they're not
like
going to ask it.
Probably. And they just don't ask it anymore. Mm. But I don't get asked that as much as I did when she was younger. But maybe you're kind of more in the circles of the mother's groups.
And thinking about pregnancy and testing.
And they don't talk about it as much now. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. But it's an extremely loaded question, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Very personal question.
I was like,
what are you going to do with my response?
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, judgment.
Yeah, no, it's just a question that I have no grace for. Sorry.
Yeah. We know that you could both run your own podcasts.
And you probably should.
So, but the last question we like to say is, have we missed anything? Is there anything you'd really like the world to know about your stories?
Mm.
Look, I think it's just my story is all I wanted to say. And it's not necessarily ST's story. I just wanted to sort of mention that. And it's just the story at this point in time. Yes. And I feel that I've mentioned quite a few of the medical hurdles. But she's got a full life.
She does.
And she's got, at the same time, she's got a few anxieties, which, cross fingers, she might be able to work through those. Yep. But we're just so grateful for what you guys have been able to start, and we just think you're amazing.
Oh, we're really
Thank
not.
You.
Yeah. What about you, Kate?
I was I know you do cry, laugh, make a difference independently, but there was a moment on the weekend I caught up with one of my besties for a coffee, and I said, oh, I need to tell you something. And she said, well, what? I said, oh, I've got to put my glasses on. I might cry.
Yeah.
And she whacked her glasses on too. And I said,
good
do you
friend.
Know what those ladies have done? Oh. I said, they've started a leaflet. And she's like, oh, what? I said, a leaflet to say welcome when you've got your diagnosis, because I think connection is so important and for families. And, I've been doing some things this week that I went back to my GP and
good.
You know, please take care of yourself.
Yes.
Your pea shoots need you. The world needs you. Be proud of your families. Yeah. Don't be ashamed.
Yes. No.
Let's get out there and change the world.
Yeah.
In whatever way you can.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Spine tingles. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. You're so generous.
Yes, thank you.
Being incredibly
What about
generous.
The podcast, the hangout? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Because I will tell you, I lost touch with people and I really missed, after being a mum, I really missed those catch-ups, I could debrief with JoJo about all of her problems and I could make suggestions because I'm such an expert. download and go, oh, maybe you could try that. Oh, maybe. Or just being that friendly shoulder to cry on, and then all of a sudden you're a mum and it's like, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
But, in that podcast, in that hangout, if there's someone there with wanting advice, it's like, oh, I think I can help there. And it's such it's a great feeling for me to care for someone else.
It is.
So it's a beautiful space. And I'd also like to say keyword signing is good too.
Communication,
which is more gesture-based and a little bit easier.
Called Makaton? Is that what it used to be called? Or?
I think it's similar to Makaton.
I think I did Makaton at uni, so I think so.
We did a bit of that with our pea shoot. And that it's a bit easy because it's more gesture-based.
Right.
But, and also if you've got a doctor or a professional or anything that is not working for you, change it. When you know,
that is so true.
Just be strong with those gut feelings. We've got them for a reason.
Mm. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We really do.
Beautiful
wise
words. Women.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
They were so lovely.
Yeah, they were
JoJo
so
and Kate.
Awesome.
Oh, I love seeing friendships.
Oh, so do I.
I mean, obviously we had Andrea and Felicity, but they were support coordinators, so this is a different story too. But
what an amazing story.
I know.
Like that their journeys sort of slightly mirrored each other, but years later, 8 years later.
Anyway, lovely. And such lovely supporters of the podcast too.
Such lovely supporters. Generous women telling their stories. Oh, I can listen to it all day.
Mm.
So, anyway, we are here for our cry difference laugh.
Yeah.
Do you have a cry this week?
I thought I'd read out one of the chapters of the book. We were just, editing to a friend and I just cried the whole way through it. And it really took me by surprise. I said, I'm sorry, I can't stop crying. And she's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
So then I just kept reading it. So I don't think, I just hadn't actually said it out loud. Like you've read it and the editors have read it. But for me to say it.
It's much different reading it out loud.
And then I'm like, wow. okay. Yeah. Anyway, I was just, yeah, so I did. I really, really cried. I couldn't stop my body from crying.
Awesome. Mm. I mean, not awesome, but like, no. Yeah, it really did happen to you. This happened to us. And yeah, it's quite.
And this is a chapter that I'm nervous about.
Yes.
So I just wanted someone else to listen to
it.
From my voice.
Yeah, we've both got the same nervous chapter.
Yeah, we do. You can guess.
You can guess. Oh, dear. So, I had a cry this week, but it was an angry cry. So it wasn't a, you know, something terrible
emotional,
happened.
Yeah.
No. So I don't know how many of you were aware that there was a report that came out that said that they're focusing less on spelling for HSC, VCE and more on content, which I think, great, because if you know how to communicate, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And if someone can understand your essay and you've gotten all your points across, perfect, and let's – you know, we live in a world of spell check. So these kids are brought up on spell check and then they get to year 12 and all of a sudden they have to write,
yeah.
You know, I just think it's archaic. And I also think, as you know, because I've harped on about spelling a lot on the podcast, if you've listened, that spelling isn't a massive indicator of IQ and spelling isn't, you know, it doesn't matter if you can spell or not. Mm. You can 100% get someone to check it.
Yeah.
Mandy and I are living proof.
Oh, my word.
That someone else can do that for
yes.
you. And, you know, there's amazing people with dyslexia that have PhDs because they got someone to help check
That's
the spelling.
Right.
So I think it's not even an argument. Anyway, you know that I love the project and I'm definitely not calling them out because I really do love it. I watch it every night. But they were discussing the article and then they were sort of, I think, erring on the side of we should English is really important, which I'm not saying it's not.
No.
And if you're really good at English, of course you think it's really
yes.
important.
Yes.
And
they're journalists.
They're journalists. They're very good at English.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so of course that's made a huge impact on their life
yeah,
being good
and
at
they
English.
They pride themselves on
yes.
it. Yes. Yeah.
And then they were crossing over to a certain, maybe I won't say his name, maybe I'll just say he's a boomer.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think it's the only person on their project that's that age. And they said, and what do you think? And he said, of course spelling's important. I don't understand. Are we going to try and raise a country of morons? And the whole, it was interesting because we were in the kitchen and I'd just been talking about the article with scholarship and number one daughter and they both just looked at him and we just went quiet because we thought, how did those words come out of your mouth? Now, I understand what he was trying to say, but I also understand in this case he was wrong. Right. So then I was just outraged. I was going to get on Instagram and do a story and tag them. And I thought, calm, which is a very good life lesson, especially for me. But I did write them a little message and I said, hi there. I was just watching your show tonight and heard a certain person talk about spelling. Just letting you know that it's not black and white. Kids have dyslexia and other learning disabilities. They can't learn to spell the way some others can. It was a bit cruel to say that they'll be morons. I feel like this person is a good guy who just doesn't understand how complex learning can be. If you want to chat, feel free to contact me. I have a podcast about all things like this and I've been on the project before. Even better, maybe have a think about it and do a story on dyslexia or similar so people are more aware and stigma can be shared. Thanks, Kate, 2 P's in a podcast. And I got a cursory reply like 2 days later saying, thanks for your comment. We'll mention it to the producers, which is fine. They don't have to take on board what I'm saying, but I am very angry about it actually. Mm. And instead of calming down and thinking, actually, that wasn't a big deal. It's caused me more distress and I've cried more about it and I've thought more about it. And I just think you're not allowed to say those one little lines. And I know that he didn't mean it like that. And I've said little lines that have hurt people. So I'm sure that if I could just sit and talk to him, he'd be like, oh, I never meant that to be like that. But as a society, more people should have contacted them and said, we don't like that. That's not true. This is all you're really stigmatizing people.
Mm.
Now, my children were in the room,
yeah.
right? So my children have dyslexia.
Yeah.
So what was he saying to them?
Mm.
So
we don't want this country with people like you.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't deserve to be at school.
Oh,
you don't
it's
deserve.
It's just heartbreaking, Kate.
It is. So
yeah.
I have, yes, angry crying about it. And I'm.
Yeah, I feel upset.
Yeah, it's really, really, really upsetting.
Because what
and
does that mean for people with intellectual disabilities?
What does that
mean? What's he saying about
what
my daughter?
What is he saying? That's right.
Yeah.
So enough already. So it's very rare that Mandy and I will call something out like this because you know it's not our thing and we're definitely no cancel culture. I will still watch the project.
Yes,
right?
Of course. That's
but
right.
I just can't not say anything. So that's my cry for the week. Anyway, I know it was a big rant. I said to Mandy, I've got a rant coming. So you can't stop it when it's in there.
Yeah, oh, no.
Anyway,
of course not.
Let's talk about making a difference.
Okay, what I'll say is not making a difference is trying to watch the show Holy Moly.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I saw the ads and I was like, is this extreme mini golf? I don't know what this is.
I hate mini golf. Oh. So with my family, it's the, I just go and it's like, whoops, oh, whoops.
I know,
oh,
and no one counts. You get to it's 15.
In the water. I'm like, it's freezing cold. Get it out of the water. Oh, whoops, can't do it. Can't use one hand. Oh, I loathe it. And I said to them, when this pandemic ends, I will go to mini golf with you because that's how much I love you.
Yeah, okay. Right?
Because they know I hate it. So Mum, there's a TV show about mini golf. Anyway, we watched it. Oh, it's Darren goes, what is Channel 7 thinking?
Now this, I want to watch it.
It's
not going to be a second series?
No.
I wonder how it's rated.
It's not going to be 18 holes. We've been watching The Amazing Race, but then we thought, oh, maybe we better have a look at this and... but yeah, so Holy Moly, not making a difference. Amazing Race is because there's a beautiful girl in there with an arm difference.
Yes, there is.
And so my Molly's always like, how's she going to do this?
Yes.
How's she going to do that? Every single roadblock or whatever, Molly says, how will she do it?
Yeah, and see, this is why representation matters.
I know, spine tingling. Yeah. So I want you to know, I've forgotten her name just now, but I want you to know
you're making a difference. Yep.
And my daughter's really worried about you.
Yeah.
At every turn in the show. Yep. And it's just, fantastic. Oh, Holy moly. Bow. You might like it. Your pea shoots might like it.
Yeah, so that's okay.
You know, but for me, I just thought, this is a step too far.
Well, when I just saw the ads for it, I was like, what is this?
It's a step too far. Plus, I don't enjoy it.
Golf is not your love language.
No. Oh, give me a two holes. That's enough for me.
Mandy's out.
I'm out.
She's going to get a Coke Zero. Off she goes to the bar.
It's over.
So I have two things that make a difference. One is, and this is old because I never watch anything current, there was a show on Netflix called The Detectorists.
Oh.
And it's
Detectorists?
Yes. It's set in a little English village.
Oh, of course.
You know, this is me.
Yeah.
And it's about a group of metal detectors.
Or detectorists.
And they're trying to unearth this Saxon thing.
Wow.
It's got three seasons. It's really slow. It's really dry humor.
Right.
I don't know if you'll like it, but let me tell you, I was transfixed. Oh. I binged it. And I cleaned out my room, like I was cleaning my wardrobe and stuff. So I was on and I wasn't. Yeah. And I just loved.
Is he going to find the coin?
Yeah, is he going to find it? Oh. And then it ends beautifully and there's relationships, ups and downs and family. Like it's real life.
Oh,
you know how English people do TV so well?
Yeah, I love their
shows. So I just love The Detectorists and it just ends and you're like, oh. So it's not like a massive ending or, you know, but it's, it's lovely. And the other make a difference was yesterday Woody was at school and he wanted me to email a teacher. And I said, okay, I can do that for you. I'll do it right now. And then he just texts back, thanks, I love you.
Oh, Kate. Like, oh,
that make a difference. Oh. He loves me for advocating for him.
He does.
And I really I don't know, made a big difference. So
it's just something when they can text back.
It really is.
Yeah. Because you're like, this opens up the world for them.
Yeah.
And and I've got this whole, you know, you just keep them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love you, Mum. Love you. Yeah.
And what about your laugh?
Okay, so Molly goes to a specialist school. There's a lot of children on the autism spectrum there. Yep. So she likes to diagnose people.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's been a new thing sort of. And so we were talking about someone at the school that I may have had a run-in with a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Right? That's all I'll say. And she said, I think he's on the autism spectrum. And I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe not.
I'm not laughing because of the spectrum.
No.
I'm laughing because she said it,
you know. But she, and I said, no, but I think he's on the old man spectrum. So I'm like, this is a whole new diagnosis.
Yes, this is a diagnosis.
OSM, old man spectrum. So I just was laughing at myself about that.
Old man spectrum.
I think we can use that one.
Yeah. I think so too. Mm. I think it's, look, There's been a bit of middle-aged to old-aged man spectrum
going on in
the media. So, yes. So your time is up.
Your time's up, people. The women are coming up.
They're not
putting up with bullshit from those men anymore.
No more.
Nope. So, the reckoning. Yeah.
The reckoning. The rectums are getting their reckoning.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, my laugh was... On Friday night, I went around to Friend's Place and Dingo Dave, who gave that beautiful review, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you'll know he just wrote, easy to listen to, hard to work for.
We laugh for ages.
And number one daughter and her boyfriend, we all went to his parents' place. Anyway, they've got like an upstairs room and it's got a pool table. I've never played pool or snooker in my life.
Have you?
No interest. I've never.
It's your mini golf.
It is. I've never touched the pool cue.
I've
just stopped the boys from wrecking them at other people's places. I've stood guard over them for years, but I've never played.
Yes.
Anyway, Dingo Dave's dad, Jimmy, was like, let's verse them. And so. Number one daughter's boyfriend and Dingo Dave, they're awesome. They're like getting the balls jumping around. I said, oh, no, you've backed the wrong horse here. He's like, no, we can do it. Anyway, he really helped me and we won.
So wow.
We laughed for ages because I'm not good at ball skills and me. No.
Yep.
Anyway, and then I didn't think about it again. And then the next morning I woke up and number one daughter's boyfriend comes out and goes, oh, here's the pool shark. Here she is. I didn't realize how much it had pissed him off. So now then I message the group chat, who won pool again? But I just want to let everyone know I'm retiring a champion. So I've done it.
I was going to say, I think the pod bar needs a pool table.
And there will be no rematch.
Okay, fair enough.
I've won something in my life. I'm expecting the pool award to come any day.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Anyway, peas. Thank you for your beautiful support. Thank you for the new people that have put reviews in.
Yes, thank
you. Continue to rate and review.
Yay.
Thank you to our Acast supporters who are funding our booklet.
Yep.
And Mandy's Omo. Someone wrote, I think they donated $20. This is for Mandy's Omo.
It's running a bit little. So
well, there we
thin,
go.
So I've got enough.
You've got enough to get another Omo
boost.
Yeah,
I'm excited about the Omo. It just smells so nice.
It does smell nice. Yeah.
Anyway, so, I'm moving up in the world, people.
Yeah.
So. Next time, fabric softener.
Oh, no. Hang on. That's a step too far. Okay, you got to be on the other side of the yard.
Okay, calm down.
No one out here has fabric softener.
Thank you, peas.
Thank you. Rate and review.
See
and we will
you.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.